If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Tries to win it. KU wins. The Missouri Tigers and the Kansas City Hawks.
Welcome, everybody, to the Border War Podcast on the Kansas City Sports Network, presented by 360 Vodka. I'm Jarrett Sutton, joined as always by my partner in crime, Jeff Hawkins,
just flying in,
jumping on. Kids were gaming. We had to get everything, the headset reset, the whole bit, man. It's been a couple weeks, dude. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Like you said, been a couple weeks, but minus the kids moving stuff at my house and when I tell them not to, but it's been a good fun 2 weeks of basketball as well, too. So been weird. It's been crazy in my household, but it's been good when you talk about college basketball, what's been happening the last couple weeks.
Yeah, man, you're in dad mode. You're in coach mode.
Yeah, like yeah.
That's what it is in February, man.
Oh, yeah.
Go all the time. Low sleep, right? The coach's life,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
We do got a lot to cover. It's been a couple weeks since we've done a pod. We got four games to cover for both Kansas and Mizzou, and really some good games to talk about, too. Kansas, we'll start with KU last night losing at Texas.
Yeah.
Tough game. A game that even Coach Self last night talking about sort of giving that one away. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I'm glad he said it. I don't know if Texas really won that game. They played well enough, but I think there's, especially down the stretch there, that final minute 30, Kansas is going to really kick themselves. Rare to see Kansas, give a game away, but life on the road, right? Life in the Big 12 sometimes. Yeah. A banked in three, a part of that last night. And just those the final possessions just didn't go Kansas's way. And they lose a tough one. Let's dive into it. I want to really just kind of hit on Kansas's struggles turning the ball over, and they missed free throws in this game. That's probably a big talking point in the Texas game. And if you look back too on their games prior to Texas, they're coming off a big win where they blow out Baylor. They play really well, and they were blown out on their home floor at Kentucky.
Yeah.
I was at that one, and man, rare to see Kansas get beat pretty handily against Kentucky. They bounce back and go to Iowa State without Ochai Agbaji, who was out with COVID protocols, get a big win and really defended well. Had a lead at half, even though they turned the ball over, and then they come back, beat Baylor, and lose on the road to Texas. So what do you make of these four games, Jeff? Let's just start there. I mean, a big win against Baylor, tough one against Kentucky. You're back in league play where you win a couple games and then you drop one on the road. Might be a good learning lesson as well for Kansas and just kind of being in that situation last night, not coming up with a win.
Yeah. So, I guess we'll just kind of, I'll briefly kind of, touch those last four games. Obviously, Kentucky, coming up in home and just being down right from the get-go and just never being able to find their mojo the whole game. That was a tough one. But, being able to like you said, bounce back and play against Iowa State on the road without Ochai and still to be able to maintain and have guys step up and do well for that. So that was obviously a good bounce back game. And then, you got Ochai coming back, home game against Baylor. And, they all perform and they perform at a high level. So, it was you know, saw them go down and then, you know, fight their way back up. And obviously, you know, we'll touch, I guess, a little bit more on this Texas game. But this is a game they wanted. I mean, not just because it's your typical Texas game, but this one had a little bit of, you know, a little bit more mustard on it, too, with Jarence Howard, the former assistant coach that was with the Jayhawks last year, obviously being the assistant coach at Texas. So obviously the Jayhawks wanted that for a number amount of reasons, but it was a good game back and forth, and what you expected. And you mentioned, you know, free throws and turnovers, and I think that was the issue. I mean, a big part of why the gap could have been increased, or, you know, they, like Coach Self said, thought they kind of gave one away. They only made 15 out of 23 free throws. So that's a big margin, only shooting 65%. But I think the big deal, I think sometimes they can live with a lower free throw percentage if they can make sure that they're taking care of the ball. And 15 turnovers, I know Coach Self likes to stay around that under 10, in under that 10, that under double digit mark. And obviously 15 turnovers, and obviously down the stretch, having a turnover at the end, that just kind of summed up how it went down at Texas. And you think about it, Texas only had 7 turnovers for the game. So, you know, that's 8 extra possessions that Texas had. If even if you say KU comes out with 7 turnovers for the game, that's 8 extra possessions. You take 5 away, that's 5 extra possessions that you have a chance to get a shot and then have an opportunity, if you miss that shot, to get an offensive rebound. So there's so many things that can happen when you take care of the ball, just so many opportunities. So for the Jayhawks to be able to have 15 total turnovers for the game, that really hurt them as well.
Jeff, as you know, closing halves are so important. And in that Texas game, you look at the end of the first half and the end of the second half, and Kansas didn't close the halves. There are two players I want to hit on since last time we talked. One's a guy that's kind of emerging off the bench, but I want to start with David McCormick, who's been a guy we've talked about a lot. He's had great moments. He's had moments where he's really struggled. And there's games where, hey, he's when he's on the floor, Kansas is better. Their efficiency is better. But sometimes, you know, he's not that efficient. And I think it showed in this Texas game, particularly at the end of the first half, when he had 2 fouls and was out of that game. And then Trey Mitchell kind of took over to close the end of the first half. I know Marcus Carr hits a 3 at the buzzer. You can't give up a 3 in transition to close the half. That got too good of a look. But 10 of those 15 turnovers come in the first half, and you give up 17 points to Texas in that. You played pretty well. I mean, you scored the ball pretty well. But those turnovers, Texas was able to put those into points, and that's really why Texas sort of stayed in the game in the first half and gave them a chance. And then I thought in the second half, a controversial play, that last play when DeJuan turns the ball over, I thought David missed a screen that was really important in getting Ochai Agbaji open. And he had a post up there where he doesn't get the ball either. And so controversial, but you look up and David McCormick has 16 points and 7 rebounds. So he has a solid night. But the end of the first half and the end of the second half, just a couple of things there that I think, you know, number one, if he sets that, I was watching that clip live late, and man, if he just sets that screen and seals, he's wide open. He just has a complete lane where he can catch. Either he's got a bucket or he's going to the free throw line, one of the two. But he didn't set the screen, and it I think it kind of busted the play up there late. What are you seeing from David, especially like coming out of the Kentucky game, right, where Kentucky did what they do. They took advantage of the paint, and they got a bunch of mid-range jumpers from Keon Brooks. And also in this game too, Timmy Allen had a bunch of mid-range jumpers and has the late game mid-range jumper to take the lead late in that final minute. So it just seems like the paint and David McCormick is such a huge part of this team moving forward.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, it's been the paint in general, just has been a part of every Coach Self team. And even thinking back to the Baylor game, you know, the guards did a really great job as far as, you know, really keeping their guards outside of the paint, limiting paint touches, really doing a good job sliding their feet to where the bigs don't have to help as much. But it's always good to know if the guards break down that you have some cushion. And, you know, the Jayhawks just don't have that. You know, they're used to having pretty much a dominant shot blocker. And David just isn't really into that role. But that doesn't mean David can't be effective. You know, he just has to be alert, stay in a stance, be ready to react when his man gets the ball. Good closeouts, contesting every shot, box. Just there's so many things that you can still do to make up for not being a shot blocker, to put yourself in the right position to either get that rebound like a Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman wasn't the tallest guy, but you know, he can go out and get you 20 rebounds. So there's still some little things, and he and Dennis Rodman would guard a 7-footer like Shaq. So there's some things that obviously David can do. But again, you look up and you see 16, 7 boards. I think moving forward, because David has stepped up, whether it wasn't from scoring, but it was from rebounds. I mean, even against Baylor, I think he had like 9 points, 8-ish rebounds. I mean, so that's an improvement for David, especially when you talk about that first half of the season, because sometimes it was 6 points, 2 rebounds, or 9 points, 3 rebounds. So the fact, or 6 points, 2 rebounds. So the fact that he's now starting to produce on the offensive end a little bit and rebound the ball, just, you know, he just has to, you know, try to improve on that, on his post defense a little bit. And that's just, to me, just making sure you're aware and always in a stance. When guys are in a stance, they're ready to react. And sometimes I think when guys aren't in a stance, that's when they can get caught slipping. But they're going to need David to continue to improve. But I think he should definitely be a double-double guy moving forward.
Absolutely. I think when he, you know, slows himself down, I think he can be clunky at times.
Yes.
I think he goes too fast.
Yeah.
And he had a pretty left-hand hook. I obviously, as you know, conference play, scout, yeah, everybody yeah. knows tendencies, and everybody wants to play him for that right hook. And he went to the left, has yeah. a soft left hand. That's a good sign. So it's good to see David put some good performances together, because he is that important. Another guy that has had two big games over the last couple games, the Baylor win in Lawrence, Jalen Wilson was really good in that game. He had 15.7 yeah. rebounds. And even in the loss to Texas, very efficient night. He had 6 of 10 yeah. from the field, 18 points, 11 rebounds. Yeah. And we've talked about Jalen a lot. Let's face it. So yeah. such a slow start. Now he's yeah. starting.
Yeah.
And he's starting to put these games together.
Yeah.
And he can handle the ball. He can rebound and go with it.
Yeah.
Something Coach Self has talked about a little bit, of letting guys go rebound the ball and go with it. Christian Brown,
yeah.
Jalen, Ochai. Like, these guys can handle it and rebound and go with it to initiate offense. You got to be happy with what you're seeing from Jalen Wilson. And then I would just add Joseph Yesufu,
yeah.
who has,
yeah.
I think, was a huge impact in the Iowa State game. His speed is impressive, and he's
yes.
very good defensively. As you know, Bill Self loves him some defensive guards that
yes.
get after it and can get be active with hands, get steals. He had a big steal last night in the Texas game.
Yeah.
He's playing more minutes. He's played, yep. you know, 22 at Iowa State. He had 17 minutes last night. I think he just needed some more minutes just to kind of show some things, and he's doing that. This could help Kansas too when Remy Martin comes back, because then all of
yeah.
a sudden you got another guard that you mm-hmm. can look up down the bench and maybe throw him in a game in March. So I think that's a positive that we were seeing Joseph Yesufu really give Kansas some good minutes off the bench.
Yeah, so I'll touch on Yesufu and then end up with Wilson. But, yeah, I mean, Yesufu's been playing his butt off, especially these last couple games. You hit it best. I think he's just a guy that he just needed more reps. And obviously it was tough with Remy and Oach and CB trying to fight for some minutes. And Coleman was doing well as he was doing well. So there was a lot of guys, Pettifer's in there as well too, trying to fight for some minutes. So there's a lot of guys in there fighting for some minutes. And you just got to be ready for it when your shot comes. And you got to credit Yesufu, because he took advantage of a situation when Remy was out, and he took full advantage. And now, even when Remy comes back, you're like, man, he still needs to be in the rotation to some degree, whether it's being able to stretch the D, hitting the three ball, because he has a nice frame when he shoots the ball, nice mechanics, feet are set, nice and balanced. But I think the thing that really where they can use him, and I don't think they need him to score. They don't. But if he can hit the outside shot, perfect. But I think where it comes for where Yesufu comes into play, and that can be an opportunity for Kansas, is with his defense. You know, he'll pick you up full court. He'll turn you. He has no fear. And I think that's what the Jayhawk needs. They need that type of guy that's really going to bring it on the defensive end to create some energy from the defensive end, because guys feed off of that. So he's really been doing a great job those last two games. And Jalen Wilson has just been phenomenal. And I mean, I really don't like to use that word phenomenal, but he has, starting from where he started out. I mean, you know, he has some things that, you know, he was trying to get over mentally, I really do believe, starting out. And I mean, it's night and day. I mean, it's really night and day. It's almost like the Space Jam movie. That's kind of how Jalen was. It's like the Space Jam with Michael Jordan when they took his special powers. They took like Barkley and Ewing and all those guys' special powers, and they just couldn't figure out what the heck was wrong. And I think that's kind of how Jalen Wilson was. And once he figured it back out, watch out, man. This guy has a nice frame, a nice body. He's smart. He's versatile. Like you said, he can rebound, push it up the floor. He can hit the three. He can defend guards. He can defend the big guys. So it's really good to see him really be active from a point standpoint, because even when he was in this funk, he would still go out sometimes and get you 7, 6, maybe 8, 9 rebounds sometimes. So he's always kind of been active on the defensive end. But it's really good to see him. I think the biggest thing with him is just he's playing free. Like, he's playing free, thinking out there. He's just playing free, and I think that's been – a big part of his success, you know, during this last, really, these last 4 or 5 games.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
And you got to think, like, with Jalen, when I watched Jalen Wilson, and I think Christian Brown's in the same conversation. Christian was great in the Baylor game, rebounding the ball, scoring the ball. You know, they're very unselfish players, right? They're not going to take bad shots, and that's a great thing. When they're aggressive, though, man, it's tough to guard them. And staying confident is my thing, right? Like, Jalen Wilson's shooting 25% from three. He's a better three-point shooter than that. We all know that.
Yeah.
He has not shot away. He shot 33 last year. I think he's a better shooter than 33%.
Yeah.
I think some of that is just he gets into his own head a little bit if he misses a couple. But, man, like you said, I mean, he averaged 12-8 last year. He's slowly getting that production back. He's up to 10 points a game now. And he's had 3 double-digit games where he scored the ball really well. He's also passed the ball really well. Yep. He had 4 assists in the Baylor game. He had 4 assists in the Iowa State game. Mm-hmm. So he can pass the ball off the bounce too a little bit. And I think it's all confidence with Jalen. Like, he could be something. He's, I mean, again, like 6'8", 225, and he is rock solid. And he's got strong legs. He can push guys around. He plays through contact.
Yeah.
Like, there are things he does where you're just like, man, Jalen, turn it on all the time.
All the time.
Like, keep that motor going. But sometimes, you know, you can tell. It's just like, man, I missed a couple. I'm going to start being passive. Yeah. And I think sometimes, like, they need those guys to be aggressive. Ochai is going to be aggressive.
Always.
He's going to look for a shot. But I think Christian Brown, and, you know, we touched on David. David's got to be good, as you know, with Bill Self's offense. It's a paint offense. You're going to try to establish a post presence, as you should. But Christian Brown and Jalen Wilson are so important for this team, because when they're good, Kansas plays at a different level. Yeah. That's just what it is. So Kansas has 3 of their next 4 at home. They come home to play Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. Their next 2 road games, though, are at West Virginia and Morgantown, and then they go to Waco. And you know, Baylor's going to be ready to, you know, they're going to be ready for that one. That was not a game. Yeah, on last Saturday.
Oh, Kansas, they're going to be ready for that.
That was a wrap. Oh, and they're going to be ready for that. You know it.
They're going to be ready.
You know that. And when Kansas – and you know, this is something Chris Beard said last night. Like, when you have Kansas in your own building, But Kansas has done so much in the past. Like, Kansas has that reputation. They are the staple in the Big 12. And so if you can beat them at home, it's a great win because it's Kansas and everything. Kansas, you know, that's what Kansas is going to get in these road games. And they gave one away at Texas. There's no question. They cannot do that because I think they should win. I think they're in the conversation still for a one seed. And I know Kansas fans, and this is where I'm at, Jeff. Like, Kansas fans are going to want to talk about winning a Big 12 championship, and I get that. But, like, you and I both know Kansas, for me, is March and NCAA tournament, man. Like, they can get to an Elite Eight. They can get to a Sweet 16. They can get to a Final Four. That's really hard to do, as you know. But, man, you got to be playing your best basketball in February, and you can't give up games.
Yeah. It's almost like you got to switch that mindset up and, you know – you know, before they were on the streak, 14 in a row. I mean, yeah, it kind of means something when you want to keep that streak going. Well, the streak has been broke. Obviously, you know, I don't think that's ever going to be done again. Maybe it will.
Heck of a streak,
credit
man.
To the Knicks, though, that's tough to do, man.
Tough to do.
Jeez, especially with the NIL too now. I mean, guys, I mean, it's going to be tough to do. But I think what they need to do is they just kind of need to kind of switch that mindset and just be able to – be able to eliminate that. We need a Big 12. Like you said, we need a Big 12. Yeah, it would be good, but focus more of that energy on March. And if a Big 12 conference title comes or a Big 12 championship comes, you take it and you be happy with it. But like you said, the end goal, and that's should be for every team that has a chance to get into the tournament, is to get as far as you can in that tournament. And obviously, national championship is on everybody's mind.
No question. A lot to look forward to for Kansas. Just they come home, chance to get right at an Allen Fieldhouse, two at home. Let's shift gears and talk about Mizzou real quick. They come off a good win at Texas A&M. A good win, 4-point win. Mizzou, there for a second, I thought they were going to give another one away. They gave away.
They've been rocking games, though, man.
They have been playing well, no question. They have been competitive. I would say over the last 2-3 weeks, man, they've been in games. Their identity has been toughness and defense, but they've given games away. Their late game execution, as you know, bad teams sometimes find ways to lose, especially young teams. Teams that don't know how to win sometimes don't know how to close. Yeah. The Florida game, they give away at home. That they should have won that game. They held Florida without a bucket for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
They kept fouling. They fouled 85 feet from the rim with 30 seconds left, while with a lead, just can't do stuff like that. And Florida ends up getting them at home. And then you look at having the number one team in Auburn on the ropes the whole night and lose by one and losing the final seconds. And look, I don't know if Auburn's the number one team in the country. I'll just be honest. They struggled with Georgia. I think they got some hero ball guys, some selfish guys, but they do have a ton of talent, and they have a ton of athleticism. Yeah. They probably have the number one overall pick on their team, who is an absolute stud, Jabari Smith. And Auburn was really bad in that game. But look, Mizzou's defense on Jabari, it was the worst game Jabari's played all year. And I just thought, give Konzo a credit with his game plan and being in that game. They had a lead. And look, you got the number one team on the ropes, final minute 30, and they didn't get it done. And that hurts. That's tough because these guys – these guys are not quitting. That's the name of the game. Yep. Like they're continuing to play. They go to College Station and get a win. And it's a back and forth game. They took care of the basketball late. It's going to be the repetitive thing we always say. They made free throws. They took care of the basketball. They played through Kobe Brown late, who's their best player. And they're able to get a win, and they got some stops late. So it's a good win against Texas A&M. Kobe Brown goes 11 of 12 at the free throw line. So he was in attack mode. He had 21 points, had a couple blocks, had 6 assists to play through Kobe Brown. And, Jeff, we talked about it at the beginning of the year.
All, like, man. That's my guy. Hey, you know I'm a KU guy, but Kobe my guy, man.
Yeah, Kobe can play, man. He can play. And I'll be honest, like, Konzo talked a lot about putting Kobe as a primary ball handler, and I thought he's not a primary ball handler. He's more of a three. He can play the four, but he's versatile. So I didn't want to put him – I don't want to put him in a box. But, man, I mean, 6 assists and really made plays and drove the ball, made the right play, sprayed the ball out.
That's a night.
That's a night. He goes 5-9 from the field, only shot the ball 9 times.
That's tough, man. That's tough.
And I would say this, too. Like, you go play in College Station, and look, Buzz always has his team. Buzz always has his teams ready to go. They're competitive. They're dogs. They get after you.
Yep.
And you get a tough, gritty win, and that's got to give you a little confidence too. Knowing you've played well, you've come up short, but you've been competitive and you've been in games. And I think all Mizzou fans should take that after what this team was getting blown out at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, man. You know, man, we've been talking about this from the start. Like, you just, and it's in any sport, man. You just want your team fans. Well, I think they're okay supporting a team, no matter if they lose or win. I mean, for sure, if they win, they're going to support you. But when they lose, as long as they're competitive, right, and they see those players trying their heart out, and they're trying. That doesn't mean, Kansas just got whopped by, Kentucky. There's going to always be, and then they just lopsided score against Baylor, So it's always going to be some lopsided scores throughout the sport. But you just as a fan, you just want to see your team playing competitive. And that's what Missouri's been doing, man. You know me, man. Jerry, I'm always talking about this rival, man.
Yeah.
I'm always talking about this rival. And again, it makes the rival better when the partner you're playing against is having success. So, again, I don't want you guys to have any success when you play KU.
Isn't that a college basketball story too, man? Like, anytime you want to beat your opponent, but then you want that opponent to go play well and beat everybody else, right? Because that only is going to help your strength of schedule. Like, you look up in March, you're like, okay, where are our quality wins? All these numbers play a factor in your seeding. And this is kind of, more for Kansas's conversation too. Mizzou's probably not going to be in this tournament. I don't want to say never, with what could happen in an SEC tournament. But every game, you want to win that game. And then you want to see those teams go and perform and play well to help you with your record and your strength of schedule. So, and with another thing, I did want to give a shout out to Jaron Coleman at 4 threes. He's a shooter and he's not shot the ball well all year. And to see him kind of make shots, and he hit a deep three against Florida that was probably 35 feet late in the game. Yeah. I mean, he's starting to find some confidence, which is always good because he's just been really up and down, but he's starting to find his shot, find his groove. And then my boy Trevon Brazil, man, he's still getting limited minutes, but he was 4-6 in that A&M game. He had 8 points.
Efficiency, man.
He was efficient. I mean, he's still a ball of clay. He's still raw, but man, he's going to be close. It's going to be fun to kind of watch his development. But hey, when we look ahead to him for Mizzou, I mean, they got Vanderbilt in Nashville tonight, a winnable game. I mean, they got confidence, and I like where Mizzou's at right now.
You don't want to play. You don't want to play Mizzou right now.
That's right. And look, Mizzou has not closed games. Their late game execution has been probably below average. But man, they've been in games. Yeah. And you look at some of their games that are remaining.
Yeah.
And they also get games at home, and they've been really good at home. And they've given away some games. But man, I would say over the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, they have been very consistent in terms of what you're going to get from them, in terms of effort, in terms of what they're going to do defensively. That's something Mizzou fans can at least get behind right now as we close the year out.
Hey, Mizzou's starting to come in for the opposing coach, whether they feel like they're better than Mizzou, they got better athletes, whatever it may be. They come into that game like, man, we don't want to lose this game. This is a team that could get hot or compete with us. Like, you guys could be a scary team. I mean, I want it, Jared.
You never know, man.
But hey, they're playing great. They're playing great right now. They're playing tight, competitive games. And that's what they got to do moving forward, because once it hits tournament time, they could be rolling with a bunch of confidence where teams are not going to want to see them.
They got nothing to lose, and they're going to play free. They're not going to play tight. And that is always an advantage when you get later in the year. The teams that have expectations, they can play tight. We've seen that before. Yeah. So Mizzou's in a really good place. So we'll see how they fare tonight against Vanderbilt, again on the road, and then they get some games at home where they might be able to pull off some more wins. And you look up, and, man, they could win some more league games than any Mizzou fan would have said after their struggles in non-conference play.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
Jeff, always fun catching up, man. We had lots of cover there. And hey, man, we're in the thick of things now. So these podcasts are going to start rolling.
Yep. Here
we're
comes.
In February, man. You know what's next. We're going to be talking about a big 12 tournament,
the
SEC
dance,
tournament.
Baby.
And then it's dancing time, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, hey, good all luck right, to your squad too this week.
And thanks,
Tucker
man.
Franklin. Thanks as always as well. Tucker running the operation. Always does a great job. So
shout out 360 Vodka.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll talk to you guys next week.